I forgot you made this.
Mmm. Parker. Mmm. Parker. Mmm. Parker.
Mmm. I'm glad I forgot about this, because now I can laugh at it all over again.
Mmm.
With Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post, this game three of the NBA Finals is tonight. Now I know why Sip didn't make today's call, because he found out Parker was on first.
Oh, yeah.
And Sip doesn't like playing second fiddle to you, Parker.
No.
I was going to say, I saw on your rundown that it was Schaefer, me, and Sipple, and that's like Sipple and then program royalty.
Yeah, and then Sip, as he has been wont to do in recent weeks, I can't make it today. Can we do tomorrow?
Dude, Parker, ever since this guy left the newspaper business, his ability to be on time has just gone by the wayside.
Yeah,
it's very sad.
It's like that's the first thing you learn in newspaper school, right? It's about being on time, deadlines.
Wait a second. Is the posit here that he was on time previously?
He was for us.
Yes, he was.
Maybe not for you.
He was for us, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty timely. That must be that, you know, you go all the rigorous standards of working at a newspaper just go out the window when you go to work for an online-only outlet.
Sad. Very sad.
Well, game three tonight. Was game two the first real tangible sign of weakness in the Nuggets in these playoffs?
I think so. I mean, it's been pretty standard for them so far in the postseason. For the most part, you know, Phoenix won two games in Phoenix, obviously, and Kevin Durant and Devin Booker went on that just like incredible heater for two games. But Denver hadn't played like that at home, which is just, I guess, a little bit of a different standard. They hadn't lost at home in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I mean, it's the first real... I mean, there's some concern. I don't think it's like panic time, but it just was the first time where, you know, on their home floor, it didn't look the way it's looked for this postseason. And that, I think, was frustrating and a little bit confusing for fans and more to the point for the coaching staff and players, given that, you know, it's the second finals game in the city and franchise's history.
Parker, there was, of course, a lot of conversation after Game 2 about the number of assists that Jokic had, and there was the question that Spoelstra was asked about that and, you know, let him score and not the other players. It obviously goes deeper than that, though, does it not, that guys were missing shots that in Game 1 and in so many games in the playoffs that they had made?
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's it. And I think there's something to, you know, Spoelstra really sort of, like, poured cold water on that, which, you know, if you're a head coach playing chess in the NBA Finals, you might do, even if that's sort of like part of, not entirely, but part of what you're after. It's interesting because Jokic's three best scoring outputs of the postseason are in three of their four losses. And that's, I think, though, it's sort of a chicken and the egg thing, is it that, hey, teams made Jokic try to be a scorer and they didn't run a second guy at him in the post. And they said, look, buddy, you score as many points as you want. We're not going to let Jamal Murray beat us too. Or is it more of like Jokic reading the game, understanding that something is amiss with a couple of the other guys and saying, if you guys aren't going to hit shots, I will. And so that's, I don't think it's ever as simple as, like, hey, you know, just let Jokic score. But I do think it was sort of interesting actually listening to Steve Kerr and Draymond Green talk about this on Draymond's podcast, that they took it as not so much like let Jokic score as much as he wants. It was more like they put Kevin Love in the starting lineup, which allowed Jimmy Butler to handle Murray. And that was what they thought, you know, Murray sort of is ball dominant as much as he can be in this offense, has the ball in his hands a lot. So they sort of made an effort to quiet him down, and maybe that left Jokic as the only consistent scoring option for the Nuggets.
Do the Nuggets dare Miami to be that hot again from three, or do you think they have to counter with a little something different?
I don't know if I dare them to get that hot from three again on their home floor. and in a postseason where outside of game one of the finals, they've shot it pretty darn well.
Right.
Malone, and then you take with that how upset Malone, Michael Malone, the Nuggets coach, has been through the first two games at the rate at which they've given up open looks to Miami from beyond the arc. I mean, some of it is just like, you know, you make an adjustment, you adjust back, counter adjustment, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it is, you know, Denver has switched a lot in the postseason because they're long, they're big and long and athletic and versatile. They have guys that can guard multiple positions. But Miami is the first team that's really sort of played in a way where they can pick at that and put you in a bind wanting to play that way. I thought it was interesting. I think it was Michael Porter Jr., who did not play particularly well in game two, said that Miami was reacting in real time to their defensive calls on the floor during game two. And so when you're playing at that level and when you're coached to that level by a guy like Eric Spoelstra, that's sort of a unique advantage. And now it's up to Denver to sort of be able to counter back to that and figure out a way to play the way they want to play.
Is Michael Porter Jr. the nugget that needs to play better the most in this one tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, the guy's one of the, you know, he's an elite shooter. And for a lot of the postseason, he's added a couple of things to his game that you'd see maybe like in flashes in the regular season, but hasn't been him consistently in his career. He's had a couple of double-doubles recently. He's rebounding the ball. See him play with some spirit on defense, blocking shots, altering shots, using the length that he has. And that lacked a little bit as he missed shots in game two. And Michael Malone, I don't know that he shrouded it all that much when he said after the game that there were players that, you know, whose attitude sagged because shots weren't going in. And that's what Michael Porter Jr. so far in the postseason has been impervious to. And he's got to get back to that, you know, in the event he doesn't shoot the ball well. But guy hasn't gone in many prolonged slumps. He's a really good shooter. And I think Denver's, you know, banking on the fact that they're going to go down eventually.
Parker, eight quarters have been played so far in these NBA Finals. How many good quarters do you think that Denver has put together?
Oh, that's a good question. Three?
I was going to say, it's definitely less than half. Or half.
Yeah, I'd say it's right at half because although, like, you can say three in game one, the first three.
Mm-hmm.
But that would also mean that they haven't put together good quarters in four of the last five in the series. And the one that they did, it was their bench that propelled the big run. So you could look at it and say they were up, you know, like I think they're up as much as maybe like 24 in game one at one point. And since they gave up 63 points in the first three quarters against Miami in game one. So I don't know if you can call any of the first three quarters of that game like a bad quarter. But since then, they haven't defended particularly well. And the starters have not, you know, put together the kind of pace and efficiency that we're used to seeing out of this team.
Talking with Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post as we get ready for game three of the NBA Finals. I don't want to overreact, but does it feel like this game tonight could mean more for Denver than it does for Miami? And I know Denver's the favorite, but if Miami is going to pull this off, this almost feels like this is the game that could decide it. And so from a Denver perspective, if you want to keep the thought of the upset out, that winning this first one on the road might mean a little bit more to them tonight even than it would mean to Miami?
Yeah, I think you could make that argument, although you could also flip it around and say, you know, Miami did all of that work. They played so hard. They stood in there and they fought for, you know, 4 days basically to gain the advantage in the series, that if Denver were to wrestle it right back tonight and sort of break serve back and get a road game, that they'd be right back in control of the series. And so, you know, I think but I see your point. I mean, Denver's the favorite. They didn't look good in game two. You wonder about the Spoelstra factor, right? Like if Miami goes up 2-1 does that thought creep into your head of like, man, how do we counter back against these guys and this coach? Certainly that will be the narrative outside the locker room. The one thing that's been pretty impressive about Denver so far this postseason is having perspective about where a series is. This is a different position than they've been in because they lost a home game. And so Miami's sort of like in the driver's seat, quote unquote, at least as far as like winning a road game. But I was in the locker room in Phoenix after game four, when Phoenix had just gone on this blistering tear, scored 125 points a game in their two home games. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope quietly, wasn't a lot of fanfare, but he just said very flatly in the locker room after the game, like he said, we're making it out of this series. And there wasn't really any doubt in his mind. And so, like, I don't think that the Nuggets are going to panic. Obviously, it's a different level of pressure in the finals. But certainly, it would be a big counterpunch if they were able to come back and get game three. And certainly, it would be a big mental test if they're down 2-1 when they go to bed tonight.
Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post. Parker, enjoy the game tonight. We always appreciate the visit. Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah, I said when they go to bed tonight, except for, like, it's South Beach. So I don't know if that's actually, like, a thing that happens.
Good call.
That's a good call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very
All right, true. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Thanks, Parker.
Parker Gabriel joining us here on the 42 Degrees, the Source hotline by your mom's house, which is not where South Beach is.
No. Well, unless your mom lives in South Beach.
Fair.
I think you ask a good question at the end there about if this game is more important to Denver.
I realized when I asked it, you could literally say the same thing. Hey, yeah. If Miami's actually going to do this.
The winner's going to be up 2-1, loser's going to be down, one. Right. So they're going to feel in a precarious situation. But just given how Denver seemed unbeatable at home, mm-hmm. and they just lost home, I think that's why there is consternation if you're a Nuggets supporter going into this one. It's just like, you thought you'd be up 2-0. And, you were up double digits at times in game two. You were up, eight going into the fourth quarter. And the game flipped so fast.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even just like the Heat took the lead and then it bounced back and forth. No, the Heat took the lead and then they, like, stretched it out a little bit. It was only some late threes by Denver that made the game a three-point loss for them in the end. So I think it's a good question. If they come out and run Miami off the floor, we're all going to be like, oh, we had all those concerns about them, and then they put their best foot forward. I wonder how they respond and how they come out, especially after some of the things their head coach said following game two.
That will be tonight.
Yes, it will. We all remembered the game is tonight. Game three tonight.
7:30
Central. ABC, John. ABC.
6:30 Mountain.
What are you doing rolling your eyes over there?
I wasn't rolling
you
anything.
You have no college baseball to watch tonight. I watch college basketball for you. You got to watch the NBA for me.
Maybe he's going to watch the
you
movie club.
You don't even like
tonight.
The NBA, so don't even go there.
I do like the playoffs.
Well, do you have to watch the movie club movie yet, John?
He already did.
Oh.
See? He already
but
did.
But I have to walk a dog.
Oh.
I'm walking a dog tonight because she didn't get walked last night, and she was really spastic this morning.
Yeah, makes sense.
Constantly just moving around, barking. Like,
probably here's your takes. Your takes suck.
Let me in. Let me out. Let me in. Let me out. Let me in. Let me out. So, yeah, she definitely needs her walk.
Way to
tonight.
Piss off your dog, John.
I didn't piss her off. She just seems a little anxious. That's all. Like, she
needs to get outside.
She needs to get outside and do a little work.
Nice. A little poop.
For her, it's a lot of poop work.
Nice. I said poop.
I'd like to nickname her Raisin Bran because she's good for two poops.
Nice.
Every walk. It's crazy.
Every walk. All you'll be doing. Every poop.
Coming up next. Anonymous coaches speaking anonymously.
I love this season. We're there, baby. We're in early June. That's the season I love. Summertime.
But how catty are Big Ten coaches about Nebraska? Or are they even catty at all?
Oh.
Find out next on 1620 The Zone. For a half century, the 112th and Dodge location has been a trusted friend for Chevy cars, trucks, SUVs, and service. Now, that 112th and Dodge location is the home of Woodhouse Auto Family. Introducing Woodhouse Chevy Omaha. Legacy location to help you find new roads into your next new Chevy. Whether it is the dependable, tough Chevy Silverado or the full lineup of SUVs, which includes now the all-new Trax. Also, the Chevy Malibu, the performance of the Camaro or the Corvette. You can find it all at Woodhouse Chevy at 112th and Dodge. Ready to make your car buying experience easy and stress-free. And when you combine Woodhouse Chevy in Missouri Valley, well, they've got the buying power and they have the selection for you. Visit and see that selection online at woodhouse.com. Check out the entire Chevy new and pre-owned lineup. And while you're there, you can schedule a test drive at your convenience. Woodhouse Chevy, as always, Missouri Valley, off I-29, and now in Omaha, 112th and Dodge. Experience the Woodhouse Chevy difference today. Woodhouse.com.